In the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string, to shoot in the dark at the upstream, at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see, his eyelids test the children of men. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked. Fire and sulfur and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold his face.
Now, to start with, I just want to ask two very simple questions. How are you doing today? You don't have to shout out, don't worry. Don't just think I'm doing okay, but actually, how are you doing? How are things going in your life? How are things for you at the moment? Because in this room, I know that there'll be a mixture of responses. There'll be some of us where life's pretty good, life's pretty decent, things are going well for us, but there will be others where we're in the midst of struggle. We're in the middle of hard and difficult times. And my prayer is that today, as we look to Psalm 11, we will find deep and lasting encouragement. Because though you may be in this room right now, doing well, in a good place, the reality is that won't always be the case. The reality is, as broken people living in a broken world, we're going to face hard times, we're going to face struggle, we're going to face opposition. And sometimes we're in those places and we don't even know the way forward. We don't know how we're going to get through it. And my heart in saying this isn't to discourage you, but it's to press you. Where will you go? Where will you run to when you're facing struggles, when you're facing opposition? Where is your place? Because today in Psalm 11, that's seeking to answer this question for us. And what I want to do in our time is two things. I want us to look at the opposition that the psalm writer David is facing. And then I want to look at the response that he has to the opposition he is facing. So the opposition. So we find David and he's reflecting on some bad advice. And we can all relate to that. I'm sure we've been given advice at times when someone who means well wants to help and wants to encourage you and says things, but it's not right. And being polite, nice people as you are, you'll probably respond very nice. Oh, thank you. That's nice. But in your head, you're like, they have zero clue. That's terrible advice. And that's where we find David. He's considering advice that he's been given. So please look with me at verse 1 in Psalm 11. It says, in the Lord I take refuge. How can you say to my soul, flee like a bird to your mountain? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They have fitted their arrow to the string to shoot in the dark at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? People are out to get David. That's the bottom of line of what's happening here. We don't know who, and we don't know exactly the way in which they are seeking to get at David. But the advisor is saying, run, David. Flee for safety from these people. They want to harm you. And as we sit here, we might think, well, it's not bad advice, really, is it? Surely, if your life is threatened, that seems quite wise. That seems quite good. Like, that's the right advice. Flee to the mountain. Yet David sees this as bad advice. This advice seems to be genuine. Someone who cares for David. And you might think, well, maybe David's one of these men who just loves to fight. He loves the adrenaline of that situation. Because this does seem like pretty good advice. And the situation is very serious. And it's important that we grasp that. Because when we come to Scripture, often we can downplay it. And if you've been in church for any amount of time, we can often think, oh, it's not that bad. It's okay. Or we think about the person in the situation. We think about David and we think, well, David's some sort of kind of superhuman. Of course David will be okay. Of course it will all work out. But don't do that. Because in this situation, it would have been normal, it would have been natural to be gripped by fear. Consider just the emotions that David might have been feeling. He would have been feeling alone, scared, paranoid, vulnerable, upset. This is not just an easy time for him. And here in Odeby, if we want to appreciate how David responds, we need to see how serious this opposition to him is. And when I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a time when I was younger. When I was a kid, I'm originally from Ireland. I know I have a weird accent, it's okay. I'm originally from Ireland, and we used to come over, my mum, my brother, and my sister, and we'd drive in the summer, we'd come over to Scotland and to northeast England. That's where some of my family live. And we'd do this every year. And one of these years, on the way back, we got the ferry from Holyhead over to Dublin, and it was a pretty late crossing. We got out from the port at Dublin, and we head out of Dublin towards home, and my mum decided one of the best decisions. Let's go to McDonald's. Now, as a kid, this was a big deal, people. We have made it. We didn't get to go to McDonald's often, so we were excited for it. So we get to McDonald's, it's pretty late at night, and we're the only ones there, us and the staff, we're the only ones in McDonald's. And suddenly, behind me, my mum and my sister are there, my brother was there. Behind us, through the door, come two men. And they have a crowbar. And they come up, and they rush the counter, and they tell them to open the tills and to give them the money. And my mum tells us to get under the table. Me and my brother do. My sister's too scared. She can't. And they get the money. The staff kindly leg it out the back. And the men rob the place, and thankfully they go right past us, don't even engage with us. Now, in that moment, as a kid, it's pretty scary, it's pretty frightening. It was kind of exciting, but let's go with scary, okay? It was mainly scary. Scary. And there, you really don't know what the future holds in that moment. In that moment, these grown men have come in. And me, my mum, and my brother, and my sister, we have no clue what will happen. We have no certainty. Like, if they want to do something, we're not going to be able to stop them. And the staff had kindly left us to just fend for ourselves in this moment. Now, right now, looking back, no one was hurt, we weren't hurt. Great, wonderful. But in a moment, you don't have a clue. And here in Psalm 11, it would have been a frightening situation. It was so uncertain. David didn't have any guarantee what would or wouldn't happen. And we need to grasp that. We need to get that. See, the situation seems so hopeless. Look at verse 3. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? This situation seems as though the wicked, the opposition, those who are against David are in control. They are the ones who are in control, and there is nothing the righteous can do. There is nothing David could do. The very foundation of his world is being ripped out from underneath him. And I'm sure you can relate to that feeling. You will have had moments in your life where it feels as though the foundation of your world is being crushed. It will feel as though it's being destroyed. And this can happen through different things. It might be through health issues and you feel utter despair. Maybe it's through a broken relationship and things were said, things were done, and you don't have a clue how this relationship might be restored. Maybe it's at work. in difficult decisions you're having to make, or the relationships with your colleagues. Or it could be at the loss of a loved one, where it leaves you just questioning. The foundations of our worlds can easily be shaken, because we live in a broken world as broken people. And the question is, and the question that I'll keep going back to is, where do we go? Where do we run to when the foundation of our world is crumbling? Because the advice to David is flee to the mountain. And in those days, the symbol of a mountain was a place of refuge, a place of refuge. But for David, and I pray for us, that when the foundation of our world is crumbling, remember our safety, our refuge is in the Lord. That's where David finds his security. And that is where we should find ours. In the Lord, I take refuge. Let that be the cry of our hearts. Let that be how we respond. My prayer is whatever opposition you are facing, whatever opposition you will face, that you will take great confidence from Psalm 11. Knowing this is God's word for us today. The opposition is great for David, but he doesn't get why. Do you notice how he engages with this? He doesn't get why he should fear those who wish harm to him. How can you say to me, David questions, how can you say to me, how can you say flee? How can you think that the foundations are being destroyed? I will not fear, I will not flee, because the Lord is my refuge. In the face of opposition, how can we find security? Well, we've been hearing some of that, but I want us to focus in on three things that we see about our Lord. Because our Lord rules, because our Lord judges, because our Lord is. Because our Lord rules. Verse 4, read with me. The Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes see. Straight away, we see that David goes from talking and speaking about his opposition to this picture of the Lord being above all. He is above everyone and every situation. He is the one in his holy temple, a temple that is not temporary, but lasts forever. And we get this image of this heavenly throne that he is sat upon, this throne that is not earthly, but above the earth itself. And what is a throne used for? It's for a king, the one who rules. What confidence is there in knowing who the Lord Almighty is? That he is the one on his throne. He is the one who is above all other thrones. He is the one above all other authorities. And in the middle of this situation where you feel despair and hopelessness, remember who rules. It is your Lord. It may seem as though he is distant. It may seem as though he is not in charge, but those things are not true. David knows his Lord, and he knows that the Lord does not just see him, but he sees everyone. The Lord is the one who sees every person. He knows every situation. And this is not a small view of God. This is a huge view of God. And that is what we need. That should, though, make us kind of pause and consider that he knows you utterly and completely. Everything you've done, everything you've thought, every word you have spoken. Even just this morning, in the few hours we've had today, think about every bad word, every bad thought, every bad action you've had. That's not hidden from the Lord Almighty. He sees it, he knows it, and he's ruling over it. But we sometimes like to try and think we're better than we are. We think, I'm not like Jim Bob over there. By the way, if your name's Jim Bob, I'm sorry. It was just a random name. I'm not like Jim Bob. We think, God will be fine with me. God will be fine. But do you understand the image that David is pointing us towards? It is the image of the Lord on his throne in his holy temple. And in our culture, we struggle with this idea of the holiness of God compared to us. We prefer to bring the Lord down to our level, to try and make him lesser than who he is. Or we prefer to build ourselves up and think we are better than we really are. The Bible is full of giving us glimpses of the holiness and the glory of the Lord Almighty. When considering the Lord on his throne in his holy temple, it reminded me of Isaiah. And the prophet has this vision of the Lord in his temple on his throne. And I just want to read a few verses from that. In Isaiah 6, it says this, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with 6 wings. With 2 wings, they covered their faces. With 2 wings, they covered their feet. And with 2 wings, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory.' At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. 'Woe to me,' I cried. 'I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty.'" Do you get it? Coming into the presence of the Lord Almighty, the King of Kings, you do not stand there and say, "Lord, I'm not a bad dude. Lord, I am far better than Jim Bob. Lord, you know I deserve to be accepted." No, coming into the presence of the Lord Almighty leaves you falling down before him, saying, "I am ruined." Realizing, "I am not the one who rules, you are. Compared to the holiness of God, you are unclean fully and completely." Isaiah knew it, and we need to know it. That he sees, he knows. And when you see the glory and holiness of the Lord, you have nothing to stand on in your own strength. Absolutely helpless. And that is in total contrast to the advisor we see in Psalm 11. See, he believed because of the opposition David faced, because of the situation David found himself in, that David was helpless. But David knows, and we need to know, that it is our Lord who rules on his throne. That before him, I am helpless. As the one who rules, he is also the one who judges. End of verse 4. "His eyelids test the children of man. The Lord tests the righteous, but his soul hates the wicked and the one who loves violence. Let him rain coals on the wicked, fire and sulfur, and a scorching wind shall be the portion of their cup." Wow, that is not gentle. That is scary. That is a scary picture of judgment that David is painting for us. Now the question is, surely the question has to be, is which camp am I in? There are the wicked and there are the righteous. That is the options. There is no other option. And the examining eyes of the Lord see the depth of our being. He doesn't just look out at what you present towards others. He knows you fully and completely. And when we accept this, we all know we don't make the cut. We all know we are not what we should be.
We fail to live perfectly according to His right and good law. I might not know you, but I can tell you that for free, that you and I, we have not lived according to His law. As Christians, though, who attend church, who come here regularly, we can forget our brokenness. It can be easy to present ourselves as together, as people who are sorted. David himself could pretend this. If you read the Psalms, you see many times of the intimate relationship David had with the Lord. You don't know me very well, but I have been in church my whole life. I've grown up in church. I get church. I know church. I know how to act and behave. And as a child, I quickly picked up on what to say and what not to say. How to present myself and how not to present myself. And it is a very dangerous place for us to be when we try to put on an image before others. Can I just say, Christians should be people who can rightly declare our brokenness before others. We're free to do so. We should be able to admit our failures and our need. I am not a perfect man, and it wouldn't take you long to hang out with me to realize that, sadly. I'm not. I am broken, I am sinful, and I am in need, just as you are, just as David was. The one way I can claim righteousness, the one way you can claim righteousness, is if it's not of yourself. Because we are all wicked, we all deserve judgment. But the righteous person knows their need and how their need is met. The Lord will judge, but the Lord is also our refuge. Do you remember how David began? In the Lord I take refuge. We are able to be declared righteous if we know the Lord as our refuge. Not my efforts, not my goodness, but in Him, the Lord Almighty, who rules and judges. The righteous are only righteous if they find their refuge in the Lord because of who He is. Verse 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteous deeds. The upright shall behold His face. What a comfort that the one who rules, the one who judges, is righteous. That is who He is. Every decision He has made, every decision He will make is right. There is nothing He has ever done and there is nothing that He will ever do is wrong. And in Him, we can be declared righteous. And He loves what is right. He loves justice, not like you, not like me, far better than you do. He absolutely loves it. We can be confident that righteousness will reign. We can be confident that justice will be satisfied because of who our Lord is. The goal of Psalms, this Psalm, Psalm 11, and the goal of our lives should be to behold His face. Knowing it is in the face of the Lord we find salvation. Knowing that it is in the face of the Lord we find confidence to face any opposition. That is our hope and our salvation. He is our refuge. God Himself come as a man, revealing the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians says, for God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The beauty of the Christian faith is that in our brokenness, in our need, the Lord became our refuge by sending Jesus Christ as Lord to bring light out of darkness. that he did what was needed for us. He fulfilled the requirements that we could not. He lived a holy life without sin. He died for us on the cross, suffering. And he rose victorious over death itself, offering life to us, and he himself being glorified. If you want to know the Lord Almighty, you need to look in the face of Jesus Christ. Only in him will you know the one who is our refuge, the one who rules, the one who judges, and the one who is our Redeemer. We began our time in Psalm 11 wondering how David and we, in the face of opposition, in the face of struggle, could be so confident. Because of our Lord. In times of struggle, in times when you feel as though the very foundation of your world is given way, look to the Lord. Don't try it on your own. Don't try and put on a brave face. See the face of Jesus Christ, who is working all things for your good and his glory. He will bring his rule. He will have justice fully and completely. And we, if we know him, if we see him to be our Savior, we will get to experience him fully and completely one day. The upright shall behold his face.